right, guys, the chopper has landed. Are you guys ready? All right, that's really cool. I just want to share something just real quick. That worship was amazing, and I really felt it passionately is God's love for your family, whatever your family looks like. And obviously, He loves our family, the Impact family, and that's awesome. But whatever your family, even if you're just single right now, God loves your family. And that when we were singing Waymaker and talking about turning lives around, it was so beautiful. And then the motions that we've got where even when I don't see it or feel it, He's working. And I just really sense God's heartbeat for us, like John leaning against Jesus' chest, feeling His heartbeat. I just really felt God's heartbeat for us. His heartbeat so passionately for you, for each and every one of us, for our families, and for what He's doing across all five generations. So God, we thank You so much for who You are, and we just celebrate who You are. We thank You that we get to worship You, and we thank You that when we worship You, we become more like You, and we get to show the world how awesome You are. Empower us this morning. Activate things within us this morning. Cause us to be Your sons and daughters, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So, are you ready to get battle ready? Come on. I don't think so. Let's try it again. Are you ready to get battle ready? There we go. All right, kids, help me tell all these grown-ups all the pieces of armor. When I point to them, you shout them out. We'll do them in order. Yeah, come on. Come on, that's great. That is the full armor of God. All right, so if you've got your Bibles with you, open them up to Ephesians 6:10. We'll be there in just a second. And what you see here is really cool in that God gave Quinette this powerful vision in Kids Church one Sunday where she saw all of the armor pieces in mass array and huge display in Kids Church. And we thought, all right, that's cool. That's a series. That's going to be awesome. And then shortly after that, someone was visiting Kids Church. And during worship, they saw this huge sword suspended over the kids as we were worshiping. And when we heard that, we're like, okay, we are so doing this. And so we did it. And we know that God wants His children and all of us to know how equipped we are for battle. And that's what's really cool. There's a lot of really cool things, but Paul, the author of Ephesians, was sitting in a prison looking at a Roman soldier when God gave him a powerful download at how the Roman soldier's armor paints a picture of all the armor that God Himself has given us. Now, the Roman Empire in that day and age was the global superpower, and their military was unrivaled. So when you saw a soldier in his armor, you knew you were looking at one of the best soldiers in the best military in the world, and he existed. His purpose was to let everyone know that the Roman Empire was here and in charge, and he was ready to enforce that. In the same way, God's telling Paul to tell us that we are a soldier, or we are soldiers from the best military in the universe. And we've been given custom-made armor designed to equip and protect us as we advance God's kingdom on earth. All right, so Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. This is a perfect way to begin the armor of God. We've got two things going on here. One, Paul says, finally. He's saying, here's the last thing you need to know and live out. He has shared in Ephesians the amazing power of the gospel and all that God accomplished through Jesus, who we are in Jesus, and all that we have as adopted children. And two, for those incredible truths to become your reality, allow Him to be your strength and your power source. It's not self-reliance, but it's everything in Christ. So verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's a lot there, but all that I'm going to boil it down to today is this. Number one, people aren't the enemy. Number two, there is a spiritual battle, and it's real. And the enemy's desire, he's scheming almost frantically to knock you down, to take you out, to discourage you, to shift your focus from these amazing truths and realities and get you to believe that you're nobody special and that you don't make a difference. And the reason he wants to do that is he wants to sideline you because you are powerful. He's actually afraid of you. So he wants you to believe you don't have what you have and cause you to be ineffective. All right, and then the last thing is that this spiritual battle impacts everything going on in our natural world. Everything that we can see in our natural eyes. And God keeps highlighting this verse. I just want to read it to you real quickly. Ephesians 1:17, Paul praying for the people. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And there's a lot there. Obviously a revelation of God and his love for you and being able to see that. And then wisdom and strategies. But in addition to that, it's seeing things that most people don't see, seeing things that we don't see in the natural realm. And so we've got that. We've got an opportunity for that. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you have done everything to stand. Paul's telling us, put it all on. Believe it's all true. Because when you put this armor on, you start to realize you're untouchable. He can't hurt you. He being the enemy. So check out what you've got as a soldier in the most elite armed force in the universe. Starting off with Ephesians 6:14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt holds everything together. Without it, a soldier's clothing would interfere with his movements and his mobility, and so he needs a belt. And even in today's armed forces, they've got a belt. Keep everything in place. You can have various weapons attached to the belt that you can use in the event of battle. And so you've got access to all that. So the belt serves a big purpose. But the biggest thing is that it's the belt of truth. It all starts with truth. Believing it's all true. And that's the good news about the gospel. It's not a fairy tale. It's not pie in the sky thinking. It's a powerful reality that God left heaven to come into our world, rescue us, restore us, make us completely whole and new so that we can enjoy perfect fellowship with him and be sent out into the world to do the same thing that he did. It's absolutely amazing. And it gets even better. And truth is a person. The reality of God with us and in us. The enemy's main tactic or weapon against us is to use lies, so it's important we know the truth, Jesus, and we put on the belt of truth. It's foundational, and it all starts with that. Don't fall for the counterfeit. Know the truth. Know Jesus. All right, so this leads us to the second piece of armor, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this piece is one of my favorites just in terms of looks alone. Does that not look awesome? Would you not love to like just be able to wake up and put that thing on? You're all just all chiseled and buff and you got the cool shoulders and just all that stuff. I mean, it's just awesome. Whoever painted that is my hero because he did an awesome job. I just love that piece of armor. All right, so we're standing firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate was in place to protect vital organs like the heart or lungs from attack. And similarly, the breastplate of righteousness protects your heart from the enemy's effort to take you out. And Proverbs 4:23 reminds us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. We live from our hearts. Everything that Jesus taught us all pointed back to the heart. It's what he cares about the most. And he explained that if our hearts are yucky things are going to come out of us. And if our hearts are pure, we'll see God. Now, long before Jesus, God had promised to one day send someone to not only fix our hearts, but to go further, to give us new hearts. In Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27, we see, I will give you, and this is God speaking to the people. So he's speaking a promise. There are so many amazing promises, and this is just one of them. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is where the breastplate of righteousness is so amazing. Righteousness is just an amazing word in general. The simple way to explain it is it's just being made right with God. God is so amazing. God making wrong things right. And that's what he did in Jesus. All sin, all uncleanness, everything you've ever done and everything that you ever will do that misses the mark of God's design and his intentions, all of it is cleansed completely by the blood. Now, this t-shirt is yucky, okay? It's been stained, it almost to the point of not being able to recognize it, but you can tell it's still a t-shirt. And one just real interesting thing is that when Jesus died on the cross, sin came upon him and he became unrecognizable. He didn't even look human. It was so bad. Because that's what sin does. It dehumanizes. And so that's the effect that sin even has on us. But then Jesus comes, and our hearts are like this t-shirt, stained from sin. Only Jesus can clean it. So Jesus cleanses us with his blood and purifies us. But then he goes one step further in that he gives you a new shirt, a brand new shirt. So the old one, he took care of that. All right, and we'll just chuck it into the sea of oblivion. And we got to make sure it's totally gone. There we go. And then he gives us just this brand new shirt. And this shirt symbolizes the brand new heart that he gives us. God is so awesome. He truly, truly, truly makes all things new. And so that's what we have. And he clothes you with righteousness so you can come boldly before him with complete confidence and assurance, knowing that you're holy, blameless. Now listen to that word. You're without blame. You're without fault. And you're above reproach. You're free from accusation. And he gives you a new heart, which gives you this completely new nature to live from. That's how much he loves you. He took care of all of it so that you can come into his presence and have an uninhibited, a completely perfect relationship with a loving Father. Do you want that? And if that wasn't enough, God in his brilliant goes even further with the breastplate of righteousness. Not only does he give you a new heart, but now your new heart is protected. So this is Eli Garcia's tactical vest. And it is super cool. I'm so thankful that he let me use it for this illustration. This is a modern day equivalent of a breastplate that a Roman soldier would wear. And it is loaded, okay? Inside, there's a bulletproof shield, both on the front and the back. If I were to be shot with a bullet from a rifle, this shield would block it, all right? And so that's the protection that God is giving us when we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And so for Eli, he would never walk into a situation not wearing this. Ever. He walks into situations where he doesn't know what's going to happen. So he's got his armor on to protect him from any threat of harm. And then similarly, for us, we need to be wearing our breastplate of righteousness. We should never go anywhere without it, because when you have it on, the enemy could have you in his sights and he can't take you out. Jesus told us from the moment you believe and give yourself completely to him, you receive a new life that can never die. You're in his hand and no one can snatch you out of his hand. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Yeah, but I did all those bad things. That's not the point. The past is paid for. He's made you right. He's taken care of everything. Just like we sang in that song, I'll never be too far gone. Forever I'm in your arms. I believe it. I believe it. That was not my audition. I will not. That was not beautiful, but those words are beautiful, and those words are true. You're never too far gone. Forever you're in his arms. So you put on the breastplate of righteousness and receive all that God offers you in Christ, and you've got a new heart that is completely protected forever. And that's really good news, which leads us to the next piece of armor. And before I talk about that, I want to ask you guys, how many pairs of shoes do you have? Just throw out some numbers. How many pairs of shoes do you have? Somebody said 30. So you have 30? That's awesome. That's great. I'm such a man. 400. That's right. A separate storage facility for the shoes. I do not have 400. I have four, or at least four up today. And I've got shoes for different purposes. These right here are one of my favorite pair of shoes. They're my hiking boots. I love to go camping, be out in the wilderness. These are kind of my everyday shoes. They used to be kind of, they're my mowing the lawn shoes. And then these are my river shoes. These are my dress shoes. Look really, really nice. Someone really special got those for me. And so we've got different shoes for different occasions. You've probably, maybe you've got shoes like ballet shoes or soccer cleats or cowboy boots. And now you've got one more pair of special supernatural shoes. Paul told us to stand firm then with the belt of truth, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And Roman soldiers, they wore these heavily soled. So they've got really thick leather soles, and they're kind of this quasi-combo like boot sandal type thing. And they're actually pretty cool, and they're incredibly functional. Those straps would help it stay anchored to the calf so it wouldn't slip or slide. But what you don't see in this illustration is that they actually had nails that they drove through the sole that would then poke through and go into the ground. They were called hobnails. Everybody say hobnails. Okay, and these hobnails, they're kind of like the modern-day equivalent of cleats. These hobnails allowed a soldier to stand firm in whatever kind of ground he was on. It also gave him extra mobility. So if the ground was slippery and he had to go up a hill, he could do it. If the ground was rocky and just crumbly, he could dig in. But the biggest thing is he was able to keep his feet firmly on the ground and not get knocked over. And that is what we have in the shoes of peace. Because with the shoes of peace on, you know that you've got God's peace inside of you. And that readiness, if you see that word there, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, that readiness speaks to that which has already been accomplished. And it's peace that doesn't make sense, that the world can't understand, so that when the storms of life swirl, the storm isn't defining you, it's not tossing you about, it's the peace of Christ inside you is what you have and who you are. And I love this story. I know everybody knows it, but Jesus and his disciples, they get in a boat and they're going across the Sea of Galilee one night, and Jesus falls asleep in the boat, and there's this huge storm, and the storm doesn't wake him up. He stays asleep, and the disciples are freaking out, and these disciples, they're fishermen-type dudes. They're used to the ways of the sea, so for them to freak out means it's got to be a pretty big storm, and so they're like, Jesus, don't you care? And so Jesus wakes up, very simply stands up, says, peace, be still. Just this instant calm comes over the whole sea, and the storm is gone. And Jesus had that kind of authority because he had that kind of peace in him, where he could just rest. He knew no matter what was going to happen, he was going to be okay. Everything was going to be okay. And so we've got that peace, and we need to put on our shoes of peace. Jesus promised us in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." That's what's been deposited into each and every one of us. And there are a lot of storms going on in our world right now. The prevailing spiritual climate is stormy and violent. So put these shoes on so you don't get knocked down, because Christ's peace is inside of you. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, I want you to know about a Roman soldier's shield. First of all, they were big and they were heavy. You could almost make the case it's about the size of this podium, in that they were about 4 feet tall and maybe 3 feet wide. And they were made from this thick wood that would kind of bend a little bit. And then they would stretch out calf skin and put it over it. And then they would attach iron edges on it, and then there was an iron circle in the center of the shield, and they weighed as much as 80 pounds. Now, one of the first things to know is that the shield identified the soldier in terms of knowing which army he belonged to. So identity was always tied to the shield. And before going into battle, soldiers would soak their shields in water so that they would become waterlogged. And in the event that flaming arrows came at them, the waterlogged, the soaking leather would extinguish those arrows. And because the shield is so big, soldiers could literally hunker down behind it and be completely protected. And it's almost like a secret place, in that once you're behind your shield, you're in great shape. And the thing that God keeps speaking to me about this is that the shield of faith is a secret place that protects you from attacks from the enemy, because identity and presence increases faith. When you know who you are, when you know what God's established, when you understand your identity, and then when you, and that's what's so beautiful about worship. I mean, you can just feel his presence. And you could feel transformation happening. And God is in the transformation business. And I want you to know, he loves your family. He's bringing healing to your family and restoration to your family. There's nothing that heaven can't heal. You're never too far gone. And so the shield of faith encourages us to just embrace that and to be encircled by his all-encompassing love. I've told the kids this story a couple times. There were some missionaries out in India, and there were witch doctors who were trying to, you know, do their spells on these missionaries, and they were having no success. And they even finally came to the missionaries and asked them, said, "Listen, what is up with this? We keep trying to cast these spells on you, but all we see are these rings of fire around you, and our spells have no power." That's the kind of protection we have. And when we start having that faith, it's like it just gets stronger. All right, the other thing that's really cool is that the soldiers would train together, learning how to operate in a tight formation. So they would lock shields together so that there's no gap and just their eyes barely peering over. And then the guys in the rows behind would hold their shields up so that there's like a covering. And they called this formation testudo, which means tortoise or turtle. And literally, if they're in battle and things are getting tough, they say, "Testudo!" They'd all get in that formation, and they'd be protected. So they could either hunker down or advance slowly and be protected from an onslaught from the enemy. And that's why who you're hanging out with is so important. And this is true for all of us, but it's especially true for children in these formative years. And so I love in Kids Church how we're just, there's a community of believers, and what's available to us. And it's neat because in Ephesians, Paul's been talking about unity and all that we have in Christ. But the church is a place where a community of believers are speaking life to one another. They're speaking truth and love. They're encouraging you to stand firm. They're praying for you. And we're connected to one another. So that's why we've got the shield of faith. And that's why when the flaming darts come, we're not hurt. Now, we did this activation with the kids, and so I gotta give you just a quick heads up. It's kind of fun. So we got Nerf guns. Say no more. That is so much fun. We got Nerf guns, and we had the kids get these shields, and so they would hunker down, and then their small group leader would shoot fiery darts at them, but they would declare what the fiery dart was, because fiery darts come in many different forms. And so they would shoot at the kids, and then the kids would have to get up and make a faith declaration that came in the opposite spirit of what the enemy was hurling at us, at them. So we're going to do this, or I'm going to demonstrate kind of what it looked like. So the flaming arrows may take the form of doubt or despair.
You cannot do it. It's too hard.
You know what? This might be really challenging, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. He really has. God, I thank you. You really have given me a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. Your strength is in me, and I trust you. The flaming darts might come in the form of tough circumstances.
There's not enough money, and Dad may lose his job.
All right, God, thank you so much that you're my provider. Thank you so much that I can trust you. Yeah, you told me I will lack for no good thing. I thank you, God, that you are a giver, and you don't withhold from me. You don't withhold from anyone. I'll do whatever I need to do, and I will trust you for the results. The flaming darts might come in the form of sharp temptation.
Nobody's looking. Just do it. No one will ever know.
God, thank you for the power to resist temptation. Thank you that you give me a way out. And thank you that your power is greater than the temptation to do this thing. Thank you, God. You are awesome. I worship you and I love you. And then lastly, the flaming darts might come in the form of personal tragedy.
How can God let this happen? For sure, he's not real. It's all pretend. The world is just caving in all around me.
God, thank you so much that you understand loss. Thank you so much that no matter what happens, no matter what I experience, you're always with me. You never leave me. You never forsake me. And so thank you that you're with me in this moment, amidst my hurt, amidst everything, and that you're a compassionate Father. So God, thank you for comforting me even in this time. And thank you that this circumstance doesn't have the final say. You have the final say. And you restore all things. And you are incredible. All right? Yeah. So you start to do that and your faith just like starts to increase. And when you may have felt like this, you start to feel a little bit more like this. And God's that incredible. Now, one of my favorite stories from that Sunday is we had some of the younger kids make these shields, and they were really cool, and they decorated them. Sarah led them and had them decorate them and stuff like that. It was just awesome. And so parents are picking them up, and there's this one little girl who is a kindergartner, and his dad sees her shield, and he says to her, "Oh, great job, sweet. That looks that's so cute. You made a shield." And she grabs the shield, and she says, "Not today, Satan." It's awesome. Dad's like, "Whoa." That was just great. All right. Now, let's take the helmet of salvation. And I love how the Passion Translation translates this verse. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. For a lot of us, arguably for all of us, the mind is the primary battlefield, and the enemy loves to whisper lies to us in an effort to get us to think that our thoughts, that these negative thoughts are our own, or worse yet, that they're coming from God. And salvation's full deliverance speaks to everything God's accomplished for us, everything that he's rescued us from, and everything he's put in us. So why a helmet? Why a helmet of salvation? Well, a helmet protects the brain. Your brain is this incredibly amazing thing, and it's also, it's the control center for your whole body. So if the brain gets damaged, that can have impact on the entire body. And so it needs to be protected from damage. And that that salvation word comes from the word saved or sozoed, which speaks to being rescued, healed, delivered, made whole, restored, or kept safe and sound. Now, earlier in Ephesians, Paul tells us, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So this is really cool because you don't have to try hard. You just have to receive faith from God, and it's a gift. And we're saved by faith through grace. So faith is like the hose, and grace is like the water coming through the hose that's then coming to us. Or to use another metaphor, it's like the electrical cord. You've got the electrical, you've got the wrapping around it, that's faith, but it's the inner wires where the electricity comes through, and that's grace. And so for example, in this room, okay, we've got the lights on, we've got the sound system working, we have the HVAC working, and it's because we've paid our electricity bill and we've got the electricity coming. If for some reason somebody turned the lights off, we just need to flip the switch so that the lights can be restored. And Jesus has paid our heavenly bill so that we have unlimited access to all of God's power for any and every situation that we have, and for helping us to think and live differently. Ephesians 4:23 tells us to be made new in the attitude of your minds. The helmet of salvation is all about thinking like your daddy in heaven thinks, learning to think like you've never thought before. We need to know that we've got the helmet of salvation on us, and so because of that, when we're hearing lies from the enemy and it sounds like our own voice, or even when we're just thinking a way that we've always thought and it's not good, it's not productive, it's not helping, when it's stinking thinking, we embrace this new attitude. So we need to know that we're connected to the power source and we can flip the switch and turn on the power of God's grace in our lives anytime we want. Okay, so this is the last piece of armor. This is the sword of the Spirit. And with it and the other five pieces, you'll have everything you need to experience true and lasting victory. Paul tells us to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, it's prophetically accurate that this sword is kind of front and center because all of the other pieces of armor are basically defensive in nature, and this one is the only one that's offensive. And it's a powerful, powerful weapon. And a Roman soldier, he had a sword that was called a machaira, and it was about this size, maybe a little bit shorter. But the point is that it was a double-edged sword, razor sharp, and with a point as sharp as a needle, so that it's designed for close combat, those one-on-one situations, so that if the enemy is in your face, you're ready to do business. And soldiers, they would practice with their swords all the time. Even boys growing up in villages, you'd hear them late at night, just like, you know, sometimes in the neighborhood, you hear someone bouncing a basketball, shooting hoops, practicing that. Well, they didn't have basketball back there in the Roman Empire, but they did have machairas. And so boys would be practicing this because you needed to know how to handle it. You needed to train your muscles and your body to react because it's a lethal weapon, and you needed to know how to handle it properly. And so the same is true for us, for the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that word for word is speaking of the rhema word. It's the spoken word. I don't have time to go into it, but there's graphe, there's logos, there's rhema. And the Bible is the written word, but then the rhema is when we speak it. And when you speak it, it's powerful. And what's absolutely mind-blowing is Jesus comes face-to-face with Satan in the wilderness, and Satan tries to tempt him, and Jesus just comes back with, "It is written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the Father's mouth." I mean, it's just mind-blowing. I guess he could have zapped him or done anything he wanted to, but he just relied on God's word and used God's word to defend himself. And that's why it's so important to know God, to understand his word, not from a place of head knowledge, but from a place of heart knowledge, so that when you're in situations, you can distinguish between Holy Spirit saying something to you versus it being a perversion or a twist of Scripture. And more than that, though, is you become it. You become the Word made flesh. It lives in your heart. And when it's there, you have great power. And the enemy might get in your face, and you're unfazed because you've got the sword of the Spirit. Want to do just one more thing, just real quick. Actually, I guess two more things. I want you to know the enemy really doesn't care about you. His issue isn't with you. He's threatened by you and knows that God's kingdom is forever advancing and increasing, and he knows that his days are numbered, and for that reason, he's desperate and wants to take you out of the battle. He wants to put you on the sidelines. Putting all of God's armor on protects you from these schemes so that you're effective as a believer, so that you're connected to his strength, so that you're not knocked down, and so that you're able to experience heaven on earth no matter what life or the enemy throws at you. And this is what we want our kids at Impact to know now and to live out now. And I'm going to show you just one more illustration, and it's one of my favorites. The kids may remember this. So this is obviously a container of water. And I've got two oranges here. I have one that's unpeeled and one that has its peel still on it. So the peel symbolizes the armor. And this orange, which has had its armor removed, there are prophetically six pieces of orange peel up here. If it is placed into just the chaos of life, okay, it sinks, and the circumstances just overtake it and overpower it. Whereas the one that has its armor on rises above, all right, doesn't get sucked into it. Isn't that really cool? I love that little illustration. Pastor David actually gave it to me a long time ago. I was like, that's so cool. I can't wait to do it. And then when you do it, and you're like, oh, man, it really does that. It's just awesome. So our kids at Impact, they are powerful warriors for God's kingdom now, right now. Not just when they grow up. There's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. Ephesians paints this amazing picture of this incredible unity amongst all the generations and people groups, and children are a huge part of that. They're first in the kingdom. Let's honor them. They've got the same Holy Spirit in them, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of them and inside of you. So I'm going to ask every kids' church leader to stand up right now. Everybody's got one of these shirts on, or even if you don't have one of these shirts on, you guys stand up. Yeah. These guys are amazing. They love your kids, they love Jesus, and they are committed to raising up a generation of powerful warriors who are unfazed by what the world shows them, who know that they're the head and not the tail. And so, parents, let's release these powerful soldiers. Let's continue to train them for battle and see amazing things happen in our homes, our schools, our community, and the world. All right, I want everyone to stand up just real quick. Let's stand up, and we're going to do this prophetically. We're going to put on all the pieces of armor. So first, put on the belt of truth. All right, secondly, put on the breastplate of righteousness. All right, thirdly, grab those shoes and put on the shoes of peace. Grab your shield. And then with your other free hand, put on the helmet of salvation. And then pick up your sword. Okay? You are ready to be deployed. You've been in, yeah. You've been enlisted. You've been equipped, and now it's time for deployment. Repeat after me. I am a soldier in God's army.
I am a soldier in God's army.
I will stand firm in God's truth.
I will stand firm in God's truth.
I was created with purpose and power for this time.
I was created with purpose and power for this time.
Christ is in me.
Christ is in me.
And there's nothing that I can't do.
There's nothing that I can't do.
In the same way that God sent Jesus, Jesus sends me. I am a child of God. My mission is to bring heaven to earth. I am destroying the works of the enemy,
bringing healing and restoration
to my family,
my
community,
and the world.
I'm advancing God's kingdom.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper
because I have on the full armor of God.
I am battle ready.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.